Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 29 of the I Brew My Own Coffee podcast. We're the podcast for people who care about coffee, and I'm your host, Brian Sheely. Joining me today, as always, is my good buddy and my co-host. He's got 25 problems, but a cup ain't one. The brainchild behind the 25 cups of Instagram phenomena, Mr. Brian Beike. Hello, Brian.
Phenomena, everybody.
25 cups of Christmas. It's hard to believe it's back.
I know, it's hard to believe that there are 25 cups for Christmas.
Yeah. Well, I've got plenty of coffee to fill up those 25 cups, so.
Yeah, man.
Including, by the way, including the one.
What is that, a fish? Did you get a fish?
It's a package of socks.
Okay. Are they coffee socks?
Coffee socks, yes. no, our order that we decided to go halvesies on of the Panama Alita Estate Green Tip Geisha from Verve Coffee Roasters
just
showed up today.
Yeah, man, that's exciting. It was a very enjoyable coffee last year. It was my favorite coffee, in fact, last year. And I wanted to try it this year. But as all good things come, you always worry that at some point in time, all good things must go. And so I was a little concerned with you know, how seasonal coffee is, that getting it this year, that I might be super disappointed. So I know that you were interested in it too, and figure we go halvesies on it. That's, people do that sometimes, right?
Yeah, and I think that will be the topic for this particular episode, number 29.
Now that makes it easy.
Yeah, not about the Alita.
I was gonna say, we're talking about Verve Coffee Roasters.
The whole episode, all about Verve. No, about sharing and. This is the season for sharing, right? This is the.
It's also the season for caring.
So, you know what really bugged me? I'm sorry. I'm going to get on a soapbox for a minute. Did you see those commercials talking about Thanksgiving?
No.
There's a whole like series of commercials. I forget about from what retailer, but they were talking about Thanksgiving. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, have we stooped to that level as a society where all we really want is just to get and get and get? And so, you know, in the spirit of giving, we're going to talk about sharing coffee, splitting coffee, swapping coffee, and a lot of cool options that are available today for doing those kinds of activities, which we'll get into in just a bit. But as we do on every episode, we start by talking about what we're brewing.
So I recently got in a coffee from Kickapoo Coffee Roasters, and it had been a while since I had tried them. And they reached back out and sent some coffees over, one of them being a Colombian coffee. It was their Fondo Paez Colombia. So, and I don't know why, in the very beginning, I was kind of nervous. Maybe it was based on my last go around with them. And I had some coffees that I just wasn't able to brew up right. So I was kind of nervous going into this one, but I was really surprised. The most surprising being just last week, my wife had brought me a brew that she had made, and she had made a Gino brew, and she had put it in my little thermal craft thingy mabobber and brought it to where I was. And I had asked her at first if she had mistakenly brewed up the Adido. They also had washed Ethiopian Adido,
which they just got their Good Food Awards finalist
right
spot for,
and I got really confused because in this cup it was a really nice like caramely honey body, but it had some interesting kind of floral characteristics and then a lot of peach, right? So all of a sudden I'm just thinking, Did you brew this one or did you brew the Columbia? I was hoping that you would have brewed the Columbia for me, sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I honestly don't know. Like, and the entire day it kept bugging me because it was so good. It was better than any time I had brewed it so far. And I'm like, it's got to be the Adido. It's got to be the Adido. So if, by the time we got home, it was like 11 o'clock at night. I'm like, I got to brew this again. And I brewed it again on the Gino, tried to just replicate whatever she would have done. And darn tootin', if it wouldn't be that Columbia.
That's awesome.
So it has a lot of characteristics that reminded me of an Ethiopian, obviously, from what I'm saying. Yeah. So it was really creamy. It was juicy and had some stone fruit sweetness and floral. It had kind of a confectionery sweetness. I don't know. Kind of herbal, kind of melon. It was just a little bit of citrus. I don't know. It had kind of everything going for it. It was really creamy, really sweet, had a lot of great things about it. So it reminded me kind of some of the micro lot Colombias I had at the very beginning of the year that I kind of haven't had in the middle of the year so much. So I was actually really, really surprised and really glad I got to get into that. So that was kind of a long story, but is a fun one. So that's kind of one of the ones I've been brewing lately. What about you?
So Thanksgiving Day, a friend that I'd never actually met in person, Elizabeth Chai, she was driving across the country, I guess. Well, she's moving up to Portland, and she packed up everything she has and put it into this Mini Cooper and this little mini trailer, and she brought her little miniature greyhound dog with her, Mr. Beauregard, the little adorable dog. And she ended up stopping by our house on Thanksgiving Day and parking her trailer out in front of our house. The cool thing about her trailer, though, if you haven't seen, she has a La Marzocca Linea Mini in the back of her little trailer.
Doesn't everybody these days? Oh, God.
It's the coolest thing. That sounds awesome. Sorry. It was really cool. We'll throw a link to her page in the show notes. One of the coolest little rigs I've ever seen pop up. And so we definitely had to go celebrate out in front of my house. We were basically right on the side of the road brewing up coffee in front of my house. We had like neighbors driving by, stopping, asking if they could take pictures and stuff to be able to prove to their family that they saw this thing. But one of the coffees that we decided to brew was the George Howell La Esmeralda Mario Carnival, the Geisha. It is amazing. And when we started brewing it, actually, it was really interesting because Elizabeth was really concerned that for some reason we had actually gotten soap into the brewer, into the Kalita. Because we started smelling it, and it was like, it smelled like dish soap. It smelled just like lemon or, you know, citrusy dish soap. And, you know, when we actually brewed it, we decided to take it all the way through the brew and we tried it. And it tasted wonderful. It was amazing. And it was a great coffee. But that whole fragrance that came from during the brew just totally played off like dish soap and had that really interesting citrusy aroma to it that was really perfumey. Anyway, so since then, I actually brewed up a huge, big old fat Chemex of it and dumped it in a liter Zojirushi thermal carafe that I brought with me on a photo shoot I did over the weekend. And I drank that coffee the entire day on Saturday. And man, it was delicious. It was full of floral notes, full of citrus, grapefruit all over the place, smooth, juicy. Sometimes it had notes like peach and stone fruit, and it was just great. I really enjoyed it a lot.
Sounds like you're plowing through it, but if you by chance had a little bit of it sitting around like I did, even just this past week, I went ahead and got into my bag again. I knew that you had it, and mm-hmm. So I wanted just to see, and mine's 2 months old now.
Wow.
And I brewed it up. I brewed it up in, I think it was probably just a Geno make. I don't remember. It was at home, though, and it still has it.
So last episode, we talked to Jen Chen and had a lot of interesting responses from that episode, especially people who might actually be involved in the coffee industry or in the social media realms of their particular companies. So it was cool to hear people appreciate the information and the point of view that Jen brought to that episode. Since then, I think you've been collecting like a ridiculous number of links and things.
Yeah, I think you and I had kind of talked about it, and maybe we'll get around to it, maybe talking a little bit more personally when it comes to social media and whatnot. But it was just interesting kind of hearing Jen's perspective on things, and then afterwards just seeing all these interesting articles about social media, or and not necessarily its relation to coffee, but just different things about social media or about the reality of social media or about the non-authentic lifestyle that can happen on social media, and just all these sorts of things that I found really interesting, and articles about not wanting to be controlled, or articles, and just a whole bunch of stuff, and I just found a lot of them really interesting in the context of that episode and kind of the weeks coming off of that episode. So kind of threw them in the show notes in case anyone wanted to peruse through.
So if you're not somebody who goes and checks out our show notes, definitely go do that, because sometimes we might throw stuff in the show notes that don't have anything to do with the topic that we're talking about or the topic that we talked about last time, just interesting things that we find along the way. So you can check those out on our website at ibrewmyowncoffee.com / the episode number. So this would be / 29. So this episode, we are actually talking about sharing coffee, and it's something that coffee lovers tend to do a lot. Ever since I've been getting into coffee, you know, sharing coffee with other coffee friends has been a big deal. So we're going to talk about that a little bit here on the episode. And coming right off of this Verve split that you and I did, why do we split coffee? Like, why is that a good idea to actually split coffee? Why would anybody want to even do that?
I think it's good to split coffee. Well, a couple of things. There might be times where several people have a joint interest in coffees, and it's just economically easier to go half and half. Two things. One, if you're someone who does go through a lot of coffee, so maybe you don't want it to get old if it's just sitting around, so you don't need as much, or maybe you don't finish a bag or something like that, right? So it's if you just kind of are exploring things and you want to get a taste, you want to try something out, you're interested in a roaster or a region or something like that, it's just nice to be able to share in that with somebody. It's just, you know, cheaper to do that.
Recently, Phil and Sebastian, I've been wanting to order from Phil and Sebastian for a really long time. And I never had, and I was meaning to. Every time I would go look on their website, though, you know, Canadian shipping to the U.S., you'd think it wouldn't be as bad, but it was pretty steep for buying like one or two bags of coffee. You know, it was upwards of $20 to $25 for shipping. And so you kind of had to buy a bunch of bags just to make it even worth your time. So a buddy of mine, Jason Newland here in Phoenix, we both decided that we were ready to pull the Phil and Sebastian trigger, so we went in on an order together, and we bought like five bags. We each got our own bags, and then we split the Hartman Estate Geisha, which was also amazing. But it made it a lot more economically viable to actually do that, because, you know, you're kind of distributing that shipping cost. So maybe for international shipments, that makes a lot more sense. And especially for spendy coffees.
Well, and you brought up a good point just in that. When I was mentioning, one, you know, not getting too much coffee in at one time, and that's just if you're having lots of different roasters. Even like you were mentioning with Phil and Sebastian, if you're getting five coffees at once, if you were to get five 12-ounce bags of coffees, that's a lot of coffee to have in at one time. Whereas if you have half bags or 4 ounces or something from one roaster, you're able to more freshly get through all that. And that gives you a good spectrum of different regions, but also a good spectrum of a roaster. That's one thing I've really enjoyed. And lately, you know, splitting hasn't been as much as a necessity, because you're finding a lot of roasters who are doing sample packs. But since not all do, here we are back again with kind of splitting.
I think we've split coffee a few times. I've split coffee with a few other friends. Have you found any really exciting times that you've actually split coffee that's worked out well for you?
Just recently, you had some opportunity to try Solberg and Hansen and kind of do some photos and whatnot, and you kind of split some of those beans off with me, and that was really great because I had tried them before in Cafe Box, and I was really interested in the roasting profile and the offerings that they had. I've enjoyed what I've had from them before, but I can't understand anything on their website, and but one thing I do understand, I'm fairly certain, is that they don't ship to the U.S. So, you know, getting a chance to try more of their coffees was great. And not only was it great, but, you know, of those offerings there, the Mama Mina Nicaragua was actually a really tasty Nicaragua. The Biftu Gudina was one of the better washed Ethiopians that we've had this year. It was just nice to be able to try their coffees again.
that happens sometimes when, you know, coffees, even coffees that you might have gotten a chance to get to, but may actually be even sold out. You know, if you've got a friend who had a really limited access to some coffee and was willing to split it with you, because you didn't actually have access to it, that actually happened to me. And going back to our buddy, a good friend of the show, Hank3 on Instagram, he was one of the original Supersonic co-pilots. They're back when Supersonic was first hitting the scene, they chose three individuals to actually send their coffees to and get feedback from. And Hank was actually one of those people. And he decided out of the blue randomly to say, hey, I've got all this espresso, got this Concord espresso, let me split it with you. And he actually gave me a big sample out of it so that I could brew at home, which was pretty amazing because nobody else had access to that coffee except for Hank and, well, two other people. So that was a really cool experience just to be able to, you know, split some coffee with somebody who had access that I didn't have.
Our friend Woodrow, I was able to hang out with him a couple weeks ago. I think I talked about him on the podcast before. He has a list of a bunch of holiday coffees he wants to get. And I had been looking at Bows and Arrows. I don't know. They're in Canada. And I see them a lot, but I never had a chance to try them. And they currently have three coffees from Nicaragua and three coffees from Honduras on their menu. And from our conversations, you know that those are two regions I've been really interested in just from some really good selections over the last couple of months. And so I wanted to try them, but there's a lot of coffee there, right? So me and Woodrow, we had talked about ordering them in and just splitting them up. And then they offered a sampler pack of those. So I think it's maybe 4 ounces of each. So it already makes it a little bit more affordable. But then I started thinking to myself, I wonder if we could even do a split on that just to get a little taste, you know, right. So make it, that would end up being $20 ish shipped for us to try six different coffees, three Nicaraguans and three Honduran coffees a couple of times. But I think I might just keep them. But we haven't worked on those details. But that's not a split that has happened, but a split that we had very recently talked about.
If you've never split coffee with somebody before, you know, obviously you and a friend are going to go in on it. One of the people needs to actually purchase the coffee. And then, you know, finding a way to get reimbursed for that. Square Cash, PayPal, all kinds of options are available for that. But once you actually get in the coffee to your house, you need to kind of get the coffee in, split it up as quickly as possible, and then turn it around and ship it back out. I vac pack up all my coffees, but if you're not somebody who has access to a vacuum sealer at home, having one-way valve bags that you can get from like Sweet Maria's or a few other online retailers, I'm sure, those make great travel options for mailing coffee. The last thing you want is like a Ziploc bag that has like somehow decided it wants to burst open in transit.
Right.
Has that happened to you?
Yeah, especially you get a box of maybe four Ziploc bags and two of them are split, and so you don't know what coffee belongs to what, and you're just, well, that was, oh well. Nice try.
Yeah, so seal it up and make sure you put, if you don't actually send the bags along with that coffee, if you've kept the bags or whoever's going to keep the actual bag that it came in, make sure you write down all the pertinent information, because you'd think a lot of times you could go to that roaster's website and pick up all that information later on. But sometimes when a coffee sells out, they pull those pages that talk about all the information. And so writing down anything that you found on the bag, especially the roast date, that's a big deal. Because that's not going to be on a website anywhere. So make sure you write down the roast date and all the other information you can think of when you send it along. So that's splitting coffee. And we've split coffee. I've split coffee with a lot of friends. Splitting coffee is a great option. But swapping coffee is a little bit different. What's the difference between swapping coffee and splitting coffee?
So where splitting coffee is you're getting it in, you're dividing it among a couple people. When you're swapping coffee, it could be one of two ways. It could be like what I was mentioning before with Woodrow. So I get some in, he gets some in, and then we kind of just trade, right? Mm-hmm. Or it could be that, hey, I got a coffee that is local to me, one of my roasters. I want to send it to you. Would you mind sending me one of your local roasters? And you and I both have found that to play out overseas a little bit differently than, you know, here in the United States. When it's with someone overseas, it's because it's a coffee you or the other person can't as easily access. Here right. in the U.S., you know, something that's a local to another roaster, you could most likely still order it online. But, you know, when I was first getting started in coffee and when I was first getting started on Instagram, I kind of looked to see if the hashtag of coffee swap had been used. And it had maybe 9 times or so before. But then me and a guy who I was friends with him in the board game industry before, and he was out in San Francisco, right? And so he was like, yeah, man, let's swap some coffee. So I either sent some Deeper Roots or it might have even been Kuma, whatever I had in. And I would, you know, send him some stuff, or I sent him a whole bag of a couple of Deeper Roots offerings or something like that. And he'd send me some Blue Bottle, or he'd send me Sight Glass or something like that.
I remember my first swap happened, and I ended up, we had a local roaster here, Nom de Plume, that has since disbanded to my extreme dismay.
Yeah, but I never got to try them.
Oh, man, so good. Anyway, some buddies of mine here in town were roasting coffee, and so I decided to send it out to a friend who lives on the East Coast in New York, and he just randomly chose a coffee in his neck of the woods, and I got my first shot at trying Parlor, which was pretty amazing. So definitely a cool experience there, even in local to the U.S., because, you know, we follow a lot of coffee shops, and I'm sure, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are aware of a number of different coffee shops around. But whether or not, you know, you would ever go out and, you know, purchase coffee from that particular roaster, sometimes it's just nice to have somebody else make the decision for you.
Right. And I think you and I, too, know a lot more about roasters than some others. And that's not to sound condescending or anything like that. I think it's just you and I, because of our nature, we peruse and want to know everything, right? So whenever I see you talk about Presta coffee or something like that, right? And you had gotten coffees from them before, or they were kind of local, right? Then I was interested yep. in what they were going on, and eventually I was able to try them. I don't remember if it was from a swap at first. It is nice because for most people, there are roasters regionally or local to them that others haven't heard of, and you can find a lot of really cool stuff.
You can swap coffee with a person. However, there is a really, really cool international coffee swap / Secret Santa project going on as we speak at this moment. And if you are listening to this podcast as it releases on Thursday, whatever you do right now, pause or do it while you're listening. Go to thirdwavewishelm.com and go sign up for this amazing international coffee swap that's going on right now. And it actually closes their registration on Friday.
All right, so you have 2 days to sign up.
2 days. Don't wait for 2 days. Just do it right now.
We'll be here when you come back.
It is a really cool thing. And I had seen this hashtag pop up last year quite a lot. And I never really understood what it was. I didn't really get it at first until I started, you know, basically looking up what the word Wishelm means in German, I believe. Do you know what it means?
No, I just thought you were sneezing.
No, Wishelm. No, it's it means to engage in a secret Santa.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't actually know that. So it is the Third Wave Coffee Secret Santa project that actually goes on internationally. So did you get involved in it last year?
No, I almost did, and I just didn't.
Yeah.
So, but I am this year.
So there's no cost to actually sign up, which is really cool. So you basically just register your name and address and your information on their website. And then whenever they get all of the submissions, they match up two people, I believe at random. I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to how they match people up. But they match people up, and you get somebody's information to send coffee to. So you buy a bag of coffee, you throw it in the mail with a customs form if they're going overseas, and you send it off. And then, you know, they'll send you something as well. So you kind of do this swap. And it's such a cool idea. I don't know of any other projects that really go on that are internationally focused like that. It seems like a really cool thing, and I'm kind of excited about it.
Right.
So swapping is great, especially when you're doing it one-on-one, but even this whole international idea of the third wave Wishown is a really cool option. And I love their website, by the way, because they give you all these like instructions about how not to be a bad Secret Santa. Like all the things that you should not do when you send over a bag of coffee to somebody else. And I feel like these rules kind of apply to just any coffee swap that you do. Don't grind your beans. Just send whole beans. No first or second wave coffee. No espresso. And that's actually, I don't know about that. I enjoy getting espressos in, but for people who don't actually have an espresso machine at home, and if you didn't know that ahead of time, yeah, you probably wouldn't want to send them a bunch of espresso roast if you didn't know they were going to be brewing it that way. Yeah, and make sure it's fresh. That's also a big one. Though, with some international roasters, the freshness question is kind of up for debate. You know, if they're roasters that are roasting a little bit more light or their profiles are a bit different, sometimes that amount of time doesn't really impact it as negatively.
I think that's just the point of I've heard some people, and this is just shipping internationally in general, you know, it can take a month, 2 months for something to arrive. So if you have a coffee that's already 3 weeks off roast and it takes 6 weeks to get to somebody, you know, it's over 2 months by the time they even are able to get into it. So
yeah,
there's definitely something that's going to be compromised in 2 months of just air time.
And I've actually found that in the times that I've sent coffee to friends internationally, where I've had a couple friends from Britain, a couple of friends from Germany, I actually just went to a local US roaster's website and ordered and had it shipped directly from them and made sure that they did international shipping, and I just made the payment for that. So that I didn't have to get the coffee into my house and then turn around, repackage it, and send it back out.
Right.
You know, thus adding more time to the trip. So that just may be an option if you were going to be swapping with somebody internationally. When it's local, it's not such a big deal. Or U.S.-based, it's not as critical, I guess.
So I will ask, do you have a favorite coffee swap that you've done?
Yeah, so there was one time where I actually got a swap that I did with Six Impossible Things, who's in Australia, and I sent him a whole bunch of Ruby coffee, and he sent me a bunch of actual espresso roast and filter roast coffees from Sensory Lab in Australia, and I'm not sure if they actually ship to the U.S. or not, but I had never even really thought to order from them directly, and so I ended up getting a couple of really cool Brazils that were espresso roast from him. And yeah, that was a pretty epic opportunity to try some of their coffees. How about you? Do you swap coffees frequently with people? Because I know sometimes you've gotten some coffees in that I've gone looking for myself and couldn't find them because of your one-on-one swap action going on.
So I've had a couple. I remember that our friend who is co-founder of, you know, what we were talking about, the third wave Wishon, Bosch, we did a swap for, gosh, I honestly can't remember what it was that I sent him, a bag of heart. I think it was the Trongi before it was out. I think I remember, hey, man, this is a good one. And he had sent me a bag of Bonanza. So it's one of the only times I've actually been able to have that roaster. It was with their Gondo Kenya, and that was really nice. So, and then a friend of yours, actually, first, Tim Bratz,
yep.
And I talked with him also after the fact about trading stuff. And when I got down here to Texas, I sent a bag of Tweed to him, and he had sent over a bag of Five Elephant. So it's been able to try some nice coffees from those opportunities.
Maybe just regionally here, we kind of, and maybe social media makes this all a lot smaller, but I feel like, you know, there are even still a lot of international roasters that I just don't even, that are not on my radar at all. And so having coffee friends in other places send you something and, you know, swap with you coffees that you're enjoying in your local area, coffees that they're enjoying in their local area, definitely a cool way to get more exposure to different roasters and different roasting styles and regions and coffees that are tasting good.
Yeah, a couple of our friends recently have been showing a subscription for Japanese coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I had, I'm probably going to botch the name, but Fuglin before. It's the icon with that little, it's like a sparrow, white sparrow in a red circle.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd had them before, but to be honest, didn't really think about other roasters from there. And there's a subscription kind of like Cafe Box that is from there right now that a couple of people that I know are on. So that, and then when you were talking about Walter's Coffee, right? Mm-hmm. And what is it? Istanbul?
Yes.
I mean, there's just places all over that I just don't even know about that are roasting excellent coffee.
Yep. And so reaching out and developing these relationships with folks or getting involved in some of these Secret Santa projects, really cool ways to get new coffees in and also to send some coffees along. And on that whole note, you know, sometimes you don't need to go in and actually receive, you know, this isn't always Thanksgiving, right? Sometimes you just send coffee to somebody. I've sent coffees to people just for no reason other than, man, I'm enjoying this coffee and it's really great. I hope you do too. And, you know, that not tooting my own horn or standing on the corner like patting myself on the back or anything, but, you know, I feel like sometimes we have an opportunity when, you know, if you're getting a lot of coffee in or you're enjoying a lot of coffee or you're getting some more exposure to a lot of other roasters, to kind of pass that along to people who may not know or may not have that kind of experience, or even to people that, you know, you really respect. Like for you, you know, I've sent you a bunch of coffees just out of the blue randomly, interested to hear like what you think about it. And maybe that would be another reason why you would just send somebody coffee just to get their take on it or their spin on it.
Right. I even think I recall last year with the Verve Green Tip Geisha that I sent some of that out just because of how much I was digging that coffee.
Yeah.
There were a couple of coffees at the end of last year. There were a lot of geishas and I was sent over from my friend Ethan. He just had sent me over some of the Stone Creek geisha that they had roasted up, 1500 La Esmeralda. That did really well on the coffees at my end of the year wrap up and everything. You know, there's been several times that, and I know it's not about Thanksgiving like you were talking about, but I'm mentioning this as if my experience was who's on the other end, right? Mm-hmm. There have been coffees that have been sent to me this year. Even recently, one of my buddies in Australia sent me a bag of Coffee Supreme, the Nano Chalo, and it was probably, it's one of my absolute favorite coffees this entire year and one of my favorite washed Ethiopian profiles. It was unlike other things. I never would have been able to know that had someone not just, you know, tossed it and sent it to me. So I guess what I'm getting at is hitting on the same point that you did, that if there's something that you're really enjoying, you know, if you're able to toss a bag to somebody else, you know, it might become their favorite coffee or one of their best coffees they've had all year too.
Yeah. And, you know, if you do end up with too much coffee or having more coffee than you can handle, you know, pack it up and send it out. I going back to office coffee, you know, for as much coffee as I brew every day in my office, I still can't get through a lot of the coffees that I end up having. And so, you know, on a regular basis, I'll put all the bags together that I have leftovers for, and I'll leave them out for my coworkers just to take, if they want to bring them home and brew them at home. And, that's been a really interesting experience to see some of these maybe not hugely coffee oriented people in my office taking the coffees home and brewing them at home. And even with whatever equipment they have at home, they're still getting a really good or better experience than they have when they're just using like supermarket coffee.
I don't know if we got a chance to talk about this yet, but we have mentioned already that I have a Wilfa that we use at the office. That's what we brew on there among some other devices. But my boss recently bought one also for his home. And he told me that. And I think he picked up a can of the Illy coffee that was also at Williams Sonoma. So he picked up a can of Illy and he was out of it now when he bought his Wilfa from Williams Sonoma. And he was asking if I had coffee that he could have. And so today I gave him this big bag of, you know, coffees that I was about to, I had only some brews left in them, right? And
yeah,
he now has a bag of fantastic coffee that he can be brewing up. And I told him that he should start his own Instagram account.
He should.
He's got a lot of coffees.
I was looking around. You know, holiday blends and holiday coffees are kind of a big thing. And I think we'll probably, I don't know if we're going to talk about this in the next few weeks before Christmas actually happens, but holiday blends are huge right now,
right?
As they were last year. And there are some really cool things going on with holiday coffees. I actually ran across Bespoken Coffee Roasters website. I was looking at their holiday blend and they sell it in 12-ounce bags, but they also sell it in 4-ounce individual packages that you can use as stocking stuffers.
That's awesome.
Which I found to be really cool. It's, you know, you don't really see that very often where a roaster will actually divide up coffees in sort of a way that is conducive to you actually gifting it to somebody.
No, but I did just see today that Monroe Coffee Roasters also, they have 3-ounce little sampler bags.
Yeah, that's pretty great. And so if you find a roaster that actually does that with holiday coffee or otherwise, you know, where they break it up into smaller portions, maybe that makes it easier to send them out to friends just to have them sample it or try it or give it a whirl. There's all kinds of reasons to split coffee. There's all kinds of reasons to swap coffee. And there's all kinds of reasons to decide that you just want to send coffee to somebody. And, you know, what's your experience been? We've kind of talked about some of the things that we've been up to, some of the splits, swaps, and sends that we've done. That's a tongue twister there. But, yeah, what's been your favorite coffee splits or coffee swaps? Or, you know, have you decided to go out and register for the third wave Witch Elm?
Yes.
If you have, let us know. Let us know your experience. Let us know some of the coffees that you've gotten. Maybe you've gotten turned on to roasters you never would have before in some of these exchanges of coffee.
So these are the kind of questions that we're interested in talking with you guys about. We are on hashtag IBMOC Talk. So that's the hashtag that we use across social media platforms so that we can see whether we're on the I Brew My Own Coffee channel or whether we're on our own individual channels and we can kind of interact with one another. Also, as we're getting ready for the holidays, don't forget that Brian and I, we have this interesting hashtag 25 Cups of Christmas. And it's not necessarily always a festive, you know, holiday dress up thing for 25 days. I was doing it last year and I just thought it was interesting to kind of reflect and, you know, get excited about coffee as I'm excited about the holidays, right? And so this year we've kind of more aggressively asked people to kind of jump on with us. It's just been kind of fun to hear people's story. It's also sometimes a fun time to recap coffees that have been enjoyable through the year or just whatever. You know, it's just a fun little tag that we have going on with that. So you have both those tags that you can throw out on social media.
We are at I Brew My Own Coffee on Instagram. We are at Brew My Own Coffee on Twitter. You can visit us on our website at ibrewmyowncoffee.com. And if you want to send us an email or you have any questions or feedback or comments, you can click the Contact Us link at the top of the page. Go ahead and give us a review on iTunes if you'd be so kind. We'd love to hear your feedback and we'd love to see what you have to say about the show. Thanks, guys, for listening. And happy third wave Witch Elm, everybody.
So long, everybody.